See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is that word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Paul would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God is good all the time. God is good. We're here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. And we're going to make some special, special sessions during this gospel sermon. But we're really here to try to seek to save the lost. And I'm just so thankful that I'm able to be here. I appreciate your minister, Brother Gary Smith, who have asked me to come and bless you with this weekend. And you have blessed me. And you see me hobbling around. This is not my usually strut. Something happened as I was loading the vehicle to come here, and sitting 4 hours to get here, I have a hip problem, and I don't know where it came from, but I have it. And I thought it kind of left me yesterday. This morning I loaded the vehicle again and could hardly get back to the room so I could get my coat and come here. So I got my wife's cane. Now she's back there. She can't move around much because I have her cane. So you just pray for me this morning. We'll get where we're supposed to go in a very few minutes. I was just blessed yesterday to be with you and receive all the wonderful glad tidings that you sent my way in me presenting my lesson on the family. And as I said yesterday, I really truly believe that I have work from God to help with the family, because I messed up my own family. And now God has given me a chance to try to help other folk and at the same time keep my family going. My wife and I have been married some 63 years, but all those 63 years have not been with milk and honey. It's all right. The peaches have and the cream have soured over time. But by the grace of God, it is what it is. It's all back together again. All right, so I have my controls here. And we are ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is my marriage enrichment program. As Brother Smith has pointed out, I've traveled all over the country doing marriage enrichment programs, trying to help somebody and trying to help some families, trying to help brothers and sisters be what God would have them to be. I'll stop by to tell you, if you want a strong church, you have to have a strong home. You have to have a strong family. If we want preachers and elders and deacons and Bible school teachers, we need strong home, strong families at home. If we don't, the church is suffering. And the church is suffering now because we have an age group in most congregations that are evaporating. Those from 22 to 32 seem like they've found careers before the word of God. But nevertheless, we are here must give an account of where we are. Now, I know my time is limited at this first lesson, so I better get on, start strutting on down the way. What love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Now, that song was made popular by Tina Turner about 40, 45 years ago. And one of the top songs in America. I can't do much with it because it's copyrighted. I can't do all I want to do with it, but the point is, what's love got to do with it? When you talk about home and marriage and the family, what's love got to do with it? Stop by to tell you, love has everything to do with it. You have to love one another if you're going to have a happy home. If you want to be in Christ, you have to love one another. If you want to be in Christ, you have to love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy. Love has everything to do with it. You want to get along with your neighbor, you have to love them. Love has everything to do with it. When we say, what's love got to do with it? Love has everything to do with it. So my lesson this morning, taken from that series of lessons, is when I said I do. When I said I do. Now this morning, this sermon is for people that are married, for people who want to get married, and for people who are sorry they married. So So we want to try to help out everybody this morning. I think if I can help somebody, we ought to go through, you know, either you want to get married or you are married or you're sorry you did get married. You somewhere around that, you know, right? There are three stages of marriage, and if you hang around long enough, you discover which one you're in. Lust, rust, or dust. Just stick around long enough, you'll find out which one you're in, you know. And every marriage goes through stages. And a psychologist says that when they go on their honeymoon, they know they're one, but they want to find out which one. They usually find that out on the honeymoon. I married a couple down in Miami, and they went on one of these cruises on their honeymoon. I don't know what happened, because when they got off that honeymoon, they were through with each other. That was the end of that marriage. I don't know what happened, but these things happen, you know, and the psychologists say that girls tend to marry men like their fathers. And no wonder mothers cry at the wedding. Yeah. But just check that out. Yeah, check that out. See what that was all about. You know, you got to hang in there. You got to hang in there. Like a man was walking along the beach, and I'll be bringing these lessons. I have a little humor and a little hyperbole, but it's all here to make a point. And there was a man walking along a California beach, and he stumbled across an old lamp, and he picked it up, and the genie popped out and thanked him for releasing him for. He had been in that imprisonment for such a long time. And he said, I have the power to grant you any wish you want. Anyone you desire. The man thought for a moment. He said, I always wanted to go to Hawaii. I'm afraid to fly and I get sick riding in a boat. Would you build me a bridge from my beachfront home in California to Hawaii? Well, the genie said, he laughed and said, that's impossible. Think of the logistics. Think of all the steel. Think of all the concrete. Think of how they have to go down into the ocean bed to put the steel girders to support the bridge. Think how all of that must be transported by boat. Oh, that's impossible. That's impossible. You can't build a bridge from California to Hawaii. Give me another wish. Man thought for a moment. He said, I want to learn how to understand women. He said they cry when they're sad. They cry when they're mad. And they cry when they're glad. How do you know to tell the difference? And they change their mind all the time. You don't know what to think about that. Will you teach me or help me to understand women? The genie thought for just a second. He said, that bridge, do you want a 2-lane, 4-lane, or an 8-lane? We have to understand what this is all about. Yeah, we have to understand what this is all about. What's love got to do with it? Well, when you said I do, you meant I do, because you said it in a vow before God. Well, what did you say? Well, that I have taken you to be my wedded husband or wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. And those are the vows that you made. Now, if you were drunk, well, that's your problem. All right? But that's the vow that you made. And the idea of happy ever after has escaped so many married couples. Even though people are reluctant to admit it, many husbands and wives are disappointed in their marriage. Why? Because there's overwhelming evidence to confirm this. At least 3 out of 5 get a divorce. That's terrible. Even in the church, that malignant sin is rampant. 1 out of 3 will experience separation within 3 years. Many of the divorced will indulge in what we call legal polygamy. That is, they will marry and divorce several times. Marriage is so turbulent an institution that articles on how to patch up your marriage, disintegrating marriage, can be found in about every issue of our family magazines. they have want ads in there, or ads in there how to keep your husband happy, and how to make your wife feel loved, and how to get the best out of your mate. A man inserted an ad in the local classified. He said, "Wife wanted." Next day, he looked in the classified, and he received 100 letters. They all said the same thing: "You can have mine." One woman said, "I sought to marry my ideal, but I found an ordeal. Now I want a new deal." That's just about the way the situation is in our marriages. But I stop by to tell you that your marriages can get better. Every marriage can get better. Every marriage goes through its rough times, its highs and its lows. That's the way life is. But if you love one another, you will keep your marriage vows. And even if you fail to keep your marriage vows, God still looks at you, and there's a big word called forgiveness. You have to be ready to forgive. None of us are so perfect that we're not going to make a mistake from time to time. But you have to have the courage to ask for forgiveness. You have to have love in your heart to ask for forgiveness. If Jesus could hang on the cross, suffer and die on the cross, and then he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, if Jesus could do that and die, look like we ought to be able to do it. Amen. Forgive one another. But that's what life is all about. There are challenges everywhere. And we need to understand that we are in a battle because Satan wants to destroy your family. Amen. Why? Because if he destroys the family, he can destroy the Lord's church. And he will use any opportunity that he can to make you weak at home so you can't be strong at church. That's the devil working. That's what he's always doing. So forgive me, because I am starting this sermon this morning. Limited time. Let me hurry up. In the cemetery. So no offense toward the marriage in the cemetery, but it's a reason for going to the cemetery because Jesus went there one time. He went there. He had a good friend by the name of Lazarus. And Lazarus died and was buried. The announcement had been made days before, and a crowd had assembled to comfort the family. Mary and Martha, sisters of Lazarus, they had summoned Jesus at the passing of their brother. Lazarus was sick, but now Lazarus is dead. And this is the only place in the Bible where the Bible says Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He had a friend, and this friend died. He wasn't really weeping for his friend because he had power over his friend. But he was weeping for the non-believers. Yes. That's why he told Martha, you're looking. She said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection." And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." You're looking at the resurrection. We need to understand that when we're in Christ, we're in the resurrection. Why do so many people hate the judgment day? Don't hate the judgment day, because the judgment day is when you're going to get your reward. Yes. You can't go to heaven without the judgment day. Yeah. Straighten up and fly right and put your faith where it should be, and stop running and hiding and dying and crying because judgment day is coming. Thank God for judgment day, because that's the only way we're going to hear him say, "Well done." Yeah. Now, if you're not doing well, I don't blame you. If you're not doing well, I don't blame you. But as Jesus went to that graveside, and he is the champion over death, hell, and the grave. And he went there where his friend was in that grave. And he called him by name. He had to call him by name. Because if he just said, "Come forth," the whole graveyard would have gotten up. He had that power. But it wasn't one person. That was Lazarus. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus got up. That was a sight. Had his dead clothes, wearing his dead clothes. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." He who was dead is now alive. The resurrection and the life has changed now. He that was dead has on life's clothing. He is ready to begin, begin with another chance and another hope in life. Today I want to let you know that your marriage, you might think it's dead, but it can be resurrected. Amen. You might think that that marriage is just over, but I stopped by to tell you there's somebody who can call your marriage back together again. But you've got to have enough faith in him. You've got to have enough love in him so he can work his thing. Because if you interfere with his power, it won't work. You have to let go and let God. You have to work with faith, because the Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is reward of them that diligently seek him. So you have to believe that God can raise your marriage. You have to believe that God can make your marriage better than what it is. And if you're having no problem, praise the Lord. If all the honey is still on the moon, praise the Lord. I stopped by to tell you, that does not always happen. And you're going to have some problems. So you have to get ready for it. Let me move on now. Now, one of the things that we have to do in our marriage, and I'm told now that I've got to work this. I almost forgot it. Okay, now let's see. All right. Oh, well, that's just about me and my wife. Married 63 years, and 4 children, 8 grandchildren, 10 great-grandchildren, and been ministering some 50 years, San Francisco, Los Angeles, all that stuff anyway. And I hope you can see that. Those are my 3 lovely daughters, 1 stepdaughter and 2 daughters. And we started this family, and look at them. They're all over the place now. But that's how we started out. And right now, the little one down here in the corner, well, she's 14 years old now, and she was on the TV the other day. She is the youngest executive director in the business. And she's little Diane on the program called Blackish. And she just signed a contract, and she's a wonderful young lady. And the thing, she's 14 years old now, and what I'm trying to do is get the Lord in her. The Lord's in the mom and the Lord's in the dad, but they're such a low degree because they're in the business. And they say, Grandpa, you don't understand. You don't understand the business. I tell you, there's another business that you need to understand. And that business is getting up and getting down. And you want to rise up at the resurrection. This Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. You want to get up that first. So you've got to take time to get yourself right with God. I don't care what business you're in. All right, let me move on here. Except the Lord build a house is another subtitle to this lesson. You can see there on the left-hand side how beautiful it is with the flower and the roses and everything. Why? Because it's being fertilized, it's being nurtured, it's being cared for. But then on the other side, no water and lack of attention, indifference. And what happens? The marriage dies. Your marriage can die for lack of attention. Your marriage can die lack of attention, indifference. You married a wife. And the Bible says you married her to cheer her up, Deuteronomy 24:5. Cheer her up. And in those days, it says you're supposed to stay home 1 year to cheer your wife up. Stay home 1 year. Well, those days have changed now. You don't stay home 1 year now. You won't cheer her up staying at home. Staying home. She don't want to see your face every day. No. You got to get up and get out of there and bring something in here. But that's the way it was, Deuteronomy 24:5. And my question always was, why is she so depressed that it's going to take a year to cheer her up? But God knows why, because male and female are different. They're not the same. Their hormones are different. Everything about them is different. And thank God for that he made us different one from the other. And as a result, the male has the responsibility of cheering up his wife. Amen. Well, you know, wives, I should have heard an amen. He has a responsibility of cheering up his wife. Is that all right? If she wants to go to the mall, drop her off. Yeah. Drop her off. You want her to be happy? You want her to be happy. If she can't be happy in the mall, she won't be happy at home. Is that all right? Sisters, I'm trying to help you up in here. All right. So one of the things that we need good communication. We need to know how to communicate with one another. And I pointed out, we have to understand what the vows are. and make sure that we take those vows seriously. And we have to understand that marriage is a divine institution. It came from God. It didn't come from the Supreme Court. And don't let the Supreme Court take charge of it. Amen. Amen. Walls and light. The divine institution sits in the hands of God. It's not in the hands of the Supreme Court. And we need to let God's word tell us how to operate in our marriages. Too many people now going around to all of these psychologists and sociologists and all of these therapists, and they in worse shape than you in. And they're trying to help you. You know, this is sad, but this is what's happening. But we are blessed in the Lord's church, so he has those in the Lord's church that are able to help you and assist you. Don't give up on your mate. Don't give up so quick. Stand by him as long as you can. Turn him over to the Lord. Let the Lord straighten this thing out. But we get so mad and get so angry, it only lasts for a while. And then we find ourselves in a situation. Now, there's a difference in a situation and a situation. A situation thing happens, find yourself in a situation, you come to Brother Smith and the elders, and you explain everything to them, and they have prayer with you and work out a plan so you can get out of your situation. But when you're in a situation, you come and they talk to you, and they talk to you, and they talk to you, and they pray with you, and they pat you on the back, say, brother, you go right on. Things are going to work yourself out. Things are going to work. A situation. You got yourself in something that you know you should not have been in. They told you and warned you not to do this and warned you not to do that, but you went on with your hard head and did it anyway. And now here you come crying, want some help. You need to let the Lord lead and guide you. But one of the ways that husband and wives need to do, and I'm going to hurry up and get through here because I only got 3 points and I haven't got two of them yet, but I'm going to hit this first one right quick. And that's communication. We need to learn how to communicate with one another. Marriage is a commitment, yes. Okay, we'll have to go past that one. And okay, we'll get to that if we get to it because my time is running out. Communication. A wife spoke to the lawyer as she was seeking a divorce, and the lawyer asked her, saying, "Do you have grounds for divorce?" She said, "Yes, we have half an acre." And he said, he said, "No, what I mean, do you have a grudge?" She said, "No, we have a carport." He says, "Does he beat you up?" "Oh," she said, "no, I get up before he does." And he said, "Lady, what I'm asking, what is your problem?" And she said, "You may not believe it, sir. We just cannot communicate." That's the problem with a lot of marriages. They just don't communicate. We have developed communication systems that have allowed men to men on the earth to communicate with men on the moon. We yet often husband and wives can't communicate with one another in the same room. We have parents that cannot communicate with their children at the dinner table. Someone was said it would help if you would shut off all the cell phones. We went to a restaurant, there was a family at the table, 5 members of that family, and each one had a cell phone. Each one was communicating with somebody other than the ones that were at the table. And as a result of that, we are losing our communication eyeball to eyeball. And as a result, we are becoming strangers because too many people have injected themselves, or we have allowed them to inject themselves into our personal business. That personal business does not have to be finance or things like that. Just loving one another, talking with one another, communicating with one another, telling each other that we love each other, and doing those things that's going to make each other happy. We don't have time for that anymore. Our schedules are full, and then we turn around and put a cell phone in that schedule. And we have all these terrible things that break down our communication. You know, fines ranging from hundreds of million dollars, people are paying out hundreds of millions of dollars because of accidents on the freeway because somebody's talking on the cell phone. What is so important that you can't wait until you get to where you're going that you have to take your cell phone out and talk while you're driving? or text while you're driving. We bring these things into our lives that complicate our lives. Why can't we get back to the simple way of just doing it the way God would have it to do it and spend some loving time talking with one another at home instead of running away from home, talking on the telephone while we're driving? We need to learn how to communicate. Pouting and sulking will not solve an argument. A couple went into the midst of a six-hour trip. The wife was a navigator, but she fell asleep. And when she awoke, they were lost. And she gave him a tongue lashing. So she just let him know you have sense enough to know how to drive, and you got us lost out here. You can't do nothing. You don't have no sense. Oh, she just went up one side and down the other. And as they came around a curve, there was a field that had a couple of donkeys and jackasses and mules standing in it. And she said to him, "Family of yours?" He said, "Yes, by marriage." You have to be careful how you communicate with some folks. You never know what you want. You never know what's going to happen. The Bible says that we're going to be judged out of every word that comes out of our mouth. We can't talk to one another. It's like, you know, we're supposed to love one another. They need passion. If you don't have communication, you won't have passion in your marriage. And this is what you're married to have and to hold. And you have to love one another to have and to hold. You know, but I just can't be too specific up in here because we have a G audience. But anyway, I can say this. A particular wife thought her husband was sick and convinced him to go to the doctor. And the doctor examined him, and then he took the wife into his office and talked to her. He said, "If you would just cook 3 square meals a day, lay out his pressed clothes, give him a rub, back rub twice a week, and have a meaningful conjugal relation with him at least 2 or 3 times a week, he would have a long, wonderful life. He'll be okay. He'll be just fine." They left the office, went down the elevator, went to the car. She was driving. He was riding shotgun. And he looked over to his wife, and it was going through her head about all the things that she had to do to make him happy and everything. It was over and over in his head, and he hollered out at her, "What did the doctor say? What did the doctor say?" "The doctor said, you're going to die." I'm trying to help somebody up in here. We have to love one another. Don't mistreat one another. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Because if you don't communicate, you're going to break down a line of communication that connects everything and holds us together. And one of those things is our conjugal rights, one to another. That's one of the reasons why you got married. Then you turn right around and destroy that by not paying attention to one another, not taking up time with one another, not doing things together with one another, and you just lose that love tie that you once had. You got to be, when we had our 50th wedding anniversary, Brother O.J. Dyson came to San Antonio. And after we said the vows and everything, he said, "Joe, do you and Wilma still kiss?" I said, "Yeah." You know, before all these people are asking that question, so we had to kiss. But, you know, it was just a lip boom, you know. We didn't want to lose anything on the floor. So, you know. so it just... you've got to maintain this in your marriage. This is why marriages are falling apart. We're not together like we should be anymore. You know, get rid of the king size bed and bring back a single. Amen. Bring back a single. We got married in a single bed. and a single bed. Now, you know, you're reaching over, you can't hardly find one another. We should be getting closer together than farther apart. And like I said, I'm just trying to help somebody up in here, because it's a pretty rough thing, you know. And we have all these problems. We got to go to the doctor for this, and doctor for that, and doctor for the other thing. You know, it's just that the man, his wife, he took his wife this time to try to find out what's wrong with her. And the doctor talked to her, and then while they were sitting there, he just picked her up, grabbed her, gave her a hug and a kiss. I mean, one of those fiery kisses. Ooh, sparks flying everywhere. And the man was just sitting there looking. And the doctor just kissed her and kissed her. And he said, "Now, this is all she needs. All she needs. Yes. This, you need to do this at least twice a week." He said, "Yes, I'll bring her back on Tuesday and Thursday." Love one another. What's love got to do with it? When you said marriage vows, you said I do. Said do it. Stop playing around with the Lord. Stop playing around one with another. Then you got to watch your finances. You can't buy everything. Forget about that dirty word that comes in the mail all the time on TV. I mean, the dirtiest word you can think of. S-A-L-E, sale. Oh, sale. Coming in the mail every day. I go down and get the mail and come back. Any mail? I said, "No, just junk mail. You got to watch this. You got to watch your finances. You know, your mom and dad, young folk, mom and dad have been married 20, 30 years. They can fill up every corner in the house. But you can't start out that way. You can't start out with all this debt. And trying to raise children and trying to give to the Lord too. You need to put the Lord first. This is what the Lord wants. Put him first. Whatever you do, put the Lord first." Amen, Walt's Lion. This is why you don't have what you should have, because the Lord is not in your plans. Put him in your plans. That's what he told Israel, that they were to give a tithe. But we don't tithe anymore, because tithe was the Old Testament. Now we have to do better. We've got to do why? Because we don't have the blood of bulls and goats and heifers. We have the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's worth more than what all the blood of the bulls and goats and heifers. This is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This is the lamb that bought our sins. This is the lamb where we are now part of his body because of the great sacrifice that he made. And we need to understand that's what we're going to have to do. With our finance, you can't have everything. Looking down the window shopping for the neighborhood. Had that Jaguar sitting over there, and she said, "I just love that Jaguar." And she worried her husband for 4 or 5 months. "We just got to have a Jaguar. Just got to have a Jaguar." And one day she came home. He said, "Well, Jaguar's out there in the garage." And she been out there all happy and everything, opened up the door, and that Jaguar ate her up. My point is, debt will eat you alive. People commit suicide because they have so much debt. Marriages break up because so much debt. Churches can't exist as they should because, folks, the money is going somewhere else. I got to come to a close now. But I had a lot more here to say, but we'll say it another time. But I stopped by to tell you, what's love got to do with it? When you said "I do" in the vows, you were committing yourself to a lifetime of love and a lifetime of passion and a lifetime of hope with one another. And the only way that you can make that right is to make your marriage right. And the only way you can get yourself right with God, you've got to obey the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul would write to the Corinthians and, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you received, and wherein ye stand, by which you are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." This is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ told his disciples and us today to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And what is he going to do with the baptized? The Bible says in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Baptism is for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:22-16. Baptism allows us to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, so now we can be purified within and also with the blood of Christ. Baptism saves us, 1 Peter 3:21. We need to be baptized in water for the remission of our sin, going through a likeness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. How did you do that? You came by faith. You came by repentance, changing your heart, changing your way, turning your life over to the Lord, and then by confessing with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you were baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you went down a sinner, you came up a saint. You are a newborn creation in Christ. You have a new name. The name now is Christian. You have a new family now. It's the Church of Christ. Christ being the head and the savior of the body, and you being a participant, and be faithful unto death and receive a crown of righteousness. And you want to go to heaven? If you're married, make sure your marriage is on track. Many folk are going to miss heaven because of a bad marriage, but many folk are going to make it into heaven because they took care of their marriage. They have a good marriage. The choice is yours. What would it be while together we stand and sing? The song has been selected. Won't you come right now?
There's a fountain free.
Yes, sir.
Tis for you and me. Let us haste. Oh, haste to its brink. Tis the fountain of love from the soul. So